Amen. There are a lot of things that we are glad to do. There are a lot of things that we are glad have been done. Expressed in that song is this notion, I'm glad that somebody obeyed. I can very strongly and meaningfully identify with that concept. I'm glad that my mother obeyed the gospel of Christ. I'm glad that my brothers and sisters obeyed, and I'm glad that my father obeyed the gospel of Christ. And I'm glad that I have been privileged to obey the gospel of Christ. I am glad to be here this morning. And I'm glad to see you here this morning. We'd like to talk to you about being glad. From Psalm 122 and verse 1, the psalmist simply said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This statement of the psalmist about being glad to go to the house of the Lord, unfortunately, is not the spirit that characterizes enough Christians. Rather, many church members begrudge the opportunity to worship. They prefer to be off on some boating or camping or fishing trip instead of being in the worship service. But one's attitude toward worship reflects one's devotion and dedication to God. You might be a Bible-believing member of the body of Christ, but if you are not excited about worship, you have a spiritual problem and your relationship with God is faulty. How many of you were excited about getting up this morning and coming to worship this morning and looking forward to seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ like a great family reunion and look forward to, with anticipatory joy, to being able to blend your voices together in song and fellowship with each other and in our singing, teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Were you excited at that prospect this morning? I trust that all of us were and that we all are excited about the blessed privilege of worshiping God. In Psalm 100, the psalmist expresses these sentiments. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. You know, that in and of itself gives us more than enough reasons to be glad to come to the worship of God. To come before him with gladness and with singing and with the spirit of gratitude. The Lord is good. Aren't you glad that the Lord is good? His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad that he exemplifies that kind of mercy? His truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you glad that you serve a God like this? Now I know some folks who are glad when they say unto them, come, let us go on vacation. I know some folks say that are glad. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go to the mall to do some shopping. There are some who could say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the lake and do a little fishing. Others might express the sentiments, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go and play a few rounds of golf. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go check out Sex in the City number 2. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go check out Iron Man 2. Let's go and have a great time watching Karate Kid, the new kid on the block, the black Karate Kid. A lot of folks get excited about a lot of things. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto Old Charlie's. Let us go unto Golden Corral out at Cool Springs and on Friday night have an unlimited supply of baby back ribs that fall off the bone. Folks are glad to do a lot of things, but we need to be glad to worship God. We ought to be glad to come to church. There are many reasons why we can be glad to go to worship, and we want to examine just a few of them this morning. Reason number one concerns our faith. We can be glad to go to church worship service. For at church, our faith is not only honored, but it is also helped. It is also enriched. It is also nourished. It is also strengthened. We live in a world that despises our faith and tries to diminish our faith through ridicule, through vilifying. This is a major problem for our children in the secular school system. It is a major problem for many at work. But at the worship service of the Lord, our faith is honored and helped. And our faith is more important than anything else in our lives. See, when you come to church, the word is going to strengthen you. The word is going to enlighten you. The word is going to enrich you. Somebody has stated that in a world like ours, we need to frequently have our faith lifted. Of course, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible reminds us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we need to listen attentively to the word of God, and when we come to the worship service, we have an opportunity to listen to the proclamation of the word. We have an opportunity to hear the preaching of the word, to hear of that wonderful story of love. That's why folks sing, tell it to me again. That wonderful story of love, of how Jesus loved us all so much that he died on the cruel cross of Calvary and sacrificed his life and shed his precious blood all for your sake and mine. I learn about that wonderful story of love when I come to the worship service. So that's one of the reasons why I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Jesus died for me. He was buried, but as Brother Marshall Keeble was wont to say, he died, but he couldn't stay dead. He got up out of the grave early on a Sunday morning, conquering kings, and all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Isn't it wonderful that you can hear about and rehearse and hear over and over again about the wonderful story of love, and we should never tire of hearing about it. And we should never tire of telling other folks about it. There are so many things that I learned from the Word of God when I come to the house of the Lord, when I come to the place of worship, and when I come and fellowship with the other members of the body. You know, and I realize that the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, is not these bricks and stones and wood and glass and everything else that goes to make up this building. I recognize that. I recognize that the church is us, that the church is composed of people. It's made up of folks. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, please. Let's just start with verse number 4. Because we are the house. We are really in an interesting manner of speaking. We are a house in a house. You know, so this is a physical house where we have assembled together, but we as members of the body, we are the house of the Lord. Verse number 4 of Hebrews 3 says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, not talking about this building, but about us, as individual members of the body, members of the church. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end? He's saying, whose house you are. He's saying, you as individual members constitute, you compose, you make up the house over which Christ is the head, as the son over his own house. You know, we use the expression going to church, and in a very real sense, you are going to church because you're going to assemble with your brothers and sisters who make up the church. Of course, we understand this is accommodative language when we say we are going to church. We know that the building is not the church, but we're going to the assembly. We are going where the Christians assemble together to worship God. And we ought to be glad that we have that opportunity to come and worship God. You know, I smile a lot, and we greet each other usually. We try not to be grouchy. We try not to be mean. You know, we might be in a little mean spirit or a little grouchy mood every now and then, but we try to greet each other with a smile. We try to greet each other with an attitude of gratitude. And we try to lift our voices in song with an attitude of gratitude, an expression of thanksgiving and appreciation. That's why you ought to be glad. Another reason why you ought to be glad to come to the place of worship, because you get a chance to express your gratitude and thanksgiving to God. And you get a chance to express your gratitude and thanksgiving to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes you need to just tell your brothers and sisters in Christ, I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you. Yeah, I want you to know that I love you. And I'm thankful that you are like your fingers. We can count on you. You know, there are a lot of folks here that we should be very grateful for. Thomas Green, I'm thankful for you, brother. I love and appreciate you. Yeah, Thomas is one of the greatest examples of fidelity and faithfulness I can think of. Thomas Green. You know, when you give Thomas a job, you don't have to worry about whether it's going to get done or not. I mean, he knows what his responsibilities are, and he faithfully carries them out. You know, one of the things he does is he makes sure the preacher, whether it's me or visiting minister, has his water. And we have some water down there in the refrigerator in the kitchen. And when it starts getting low, he's going to come to Brother Proud or Brother Daniel or me. He's going to say, water, getting low. Yeah, need some more water. And he means business. No, he's not playing around. He takes this thing seriously. Because he doesn't want to go down there one morning or one evening and there's no water in there. So he lets you know well in advance, we need some more water, brothers. You might say, oh, that's simple. But he does not drop the ball. He carries out his responsibilities with faithfulness and dedication. And I'm glad that I can have association with and have the kind of example that he sets for. When we come together to worship, we should be glad that we're able to hear the preached word. We should be glad that we're able to give of our means as the Lord has blessed us to prosper. We should be glad that we're able to assemble around the table and commemorate the death of our Lord and Savior by partaking of the emblems, the bread, and the fruit of the vine, ever being mindful of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us, and ever being mindful of the precious blood that was shed on Calvary. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not only should our gladness concern our faith, but our gladness at coming into the house of the Lord should also concern our future. We live in a world that does not present a very optimistic or positive outlook. We can be glad to go to church to worship because it addresses the future with hope. This life is short at its best. Then there is eternity ahead. The question is, which is dealt with when we come into the house of the Lord. The question is addressed, where will you spend eternity? When we go to the house of God to worship, we learn about the future and how to be prepared for the future. We learn from the Word of God how to pull the curtain back from death and get a look on the other side. That's the only way we can get an accurate assessment of what takes place following death in this life. We can pull the curtain back with the Word of God. The world will not prepare us for the future. The psychologists and the sociologists and the psychiatrist cannot prepare us for the future. The schools of higher learning cannot prepare us for the future. They can only deal with this present world. They can only deal with the here and now. But those of us who are Christians recognize that this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? And I think we have that hope. That hope tends to sustain us. That hope tends to stabilize us. That hope connects us with the next world. And it's a wonderful thing to have. Wise men recognize that we must give great priority to preparing for the future if we're going to have an eternity that is joy and not judgment. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Not just because of my faith and my future, but also because of my freedom. We can be glad we can go to church to worship because this means we have freedom to worship. Today is the 4th of July. They say it's Independence Day. This country, as it had its august beginning, came into existence because men were willing to lay down their lives that they might enjoy the kind of freedom that we enjoy today. And of course, as members of the church, as a part of the family of God, we have a special freedom that transcends our political freedom as citizens of this nation. But we yet are grateful to God for the freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our consciences. Many folk in many nations of the world do not have that freedom today. Persecution has destroyed many churches and prohibited many from worshiping God. Some have had to worship God under the cover of darkness for fear of persecution. But we have freedom in our land to worship. However, if you do not use your freedom to worship, you could one day lose your freedom to worship. You know, it's amazing and it's disturbing. It's disheartening to think that although we have the freedom and the right to worship God, still many neglect the opportunities that are presented that they might worship God. Even many of us neglect opportunities to come together when the church assembles together that we might worship God in spirit and in truth. Many of us neglect the opportunity to come together, and this is what was addressed in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Verse number 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, some of the early Christians did worship under duress. Some of the early Christians did worship in an atmosphere of persecution, but they still were encouraged to come together when the church came together. We have all of the modern conveniences today. We have nice transportation. We have jobs that have let us off, and we don't have to worry about going to our secular jobs on the weekend to hinder our worship. We have the freedom from worrying about working on Sundays. And I know some folks do work on Sundays, but by and large, we are freed of the responsibility to work on Lord's Day. And we can look forward with anticipatory joy to come together and worship with the people of God. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad as it concerns my faith, my future, and my freedom. You might be present today, and you might not have yet become a part of the house of God. You might not have yet become a member of the family of God. This is a wonderful opportunity to be freed from your sins today, to gain independence from the bondage of sin. Jesus has already done the big part. Jesus has already made the greatest sacrifice. You've heard that wonderful story of love. I believe you believe it. If you do believe it, then obey it. Obey it by repenting of your sins, turning your back on the things you know to be wrong, giving up the practice of sinful behavior. Give it up. Turn it loose and let it go. Change your mind towards sin and turn away from sin. That's what repentance is all about. That's what repentance is all about. You know, repenting is different from just acknowledging or just confessing. See, sometimes folks will confess but don't make any changes. In Proverbs chapter 28, I believe verse number 13, "Blessed is the man that confesseth and forsaketh his sins." Clifford, turn over there, please. Proverbs 28 and verse number 13. Proverbs 8, 28 and verse number 13. No, just 28, 13. Yeah, 28:13. Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." That's very sobering. That's very serious. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. Wouldn't you like to have mercy? You know, the Lord is willing to forgive you. The Lord is willing to accept you into his family if you're willing to repent. Not just acknowledge sin and go back to doing the same old thing you've been doing all the time. But you need to not just only acknowledge or confess, but you need to forsake and you'll have mercy. If you're not a Christian, you need to confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Jesus says, "Whosoever will confess me before men, I'll confess him before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever will deny me before men, I'll deny him before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10, 32 and 33. In Romans 10, verses 8 through 10, Paul asks, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Why not make that good confession today? And upon that confession of faith, why not submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, and the Lord guarantees you a brand new life. In baptism, your sins are remitted or forgiven, and you experience the new birth. When you come up out of the water, you're in Christ, you're part of his family, and you're ready to live a brand new life. And that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us, for if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. And we contact the blood of Christ when we are baptized in water for the remission of our sins. You can become a child of God today. You can be freed from the burden of sin today and made a part of God's family. If you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've fallen by the wayside, you have lapsed into a state of unfaithfulness, now is a good time to rededicate your life to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here in either category this morning, we'd like to encourage you to come. If you have some special need or some special prayer request to address some special challenge that you are facing, you can also make that known. If you're here and need to respond and want to respond, we encourage you to do it as we together stand and as we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you one in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Oh, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?